Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Give us water to drink. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So spoke the children of Israel not long after they had been set free from slavery and hard labor in Egypt. After grumbling about their hunger, God provided his children with bread from heaven, manna. The grumbling continued. After moving farther away from Egypt and out into the wilderness, the people grumbled about their thirst. They did not simply ask for water to drink. Their disposition toward God was not appropriate. Heaving their contempt against Moses, God's spokesman, Moses then inquired to God about the situation. What am I to do with these people? The result? Miraculous. God commanded Moses to take up his staff, the same staff that he had used to part the Red Sea, and then to stand in the presence of the elders of the people. And Moses was to strike the rock with his rod. Heeding Yahweh's command, the rock spurt forth water, drinkable water. And the Israelites were given more than enough to quench their thirst. One rock spraying out enough water for hundreds of thousands of Israelites. Truly remarkable. After receiving plenteous bread in the wilderness and an abundance of water from a rock, the people of Israel should have believed that all things are possible with God. And, even more importantly, that He would truly take care of them. Much like those Israelites, our spiritual ancestors, we fail to fully trust God in all things. We are like Peter in the midst of the raging sea, seeing Christ Jesus straight before him, but fearing the crashing waves all around him. The Almighty God has shown us over and over again that He will always take care of us. Try counting the ways that God has blessed you, and you will soon realize so many more ways than you ever thought could be. So, why this fear and this doubt? As reasonable human beings, we demand evidence for any type of certainty in this life, and God has given us ample evidences of His love, most prominently and most especially His good and gracious Word. Yet, we are poor, miserable sinners. We are ever too quick to forget God's faithfulness. What are we left with then? To trust in ourselves and in this world. A dire situation indeed. While Israel used the opportunity of their thirst to test God, Jesus used the occasion of his thirst to proclaim God. To the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus directed a request for water. The Son of Man, truly and fully human, needed something to drink. Now, John never tells us if the woman actually gave him something to drink, but instead, John does tell us that the woman questioned Jesus. For it was odd for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan woman. But moving past that, Jesus dives into the main point of this interaction. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. How truly odd that must have seemed to this woman. She came regularly to this well to drink of its water. But this well had belonged to their patriarch, Jacob, and he had given it to his son, Joseph. This Jewish man, an alien in Samaria, first asks for a drink from the well. And so it is obvious that he has no means to draw water from the well by himself. And yet, he then declares to her that he can give her living water, flowing water. How astonishing. Jesus didn't argue with the greatness of this well. Rather, he stated the truth that even drinking from that great well of Jacob cannot quench thirst forever. The woman is sold. She would be happy to receive water from Jesus if it meant that she would never have to come to that well and draw water again. The woman remained in her ignorance until Jesus continued the conversation with talk about her relationships. And this discussion finally began to open the eyes of the woman as to whom she was really speaking. "Sir, I perceive you to be a prophet." The woman went on to divulge to Jesus her belief about the coming Messiah. "I know that Messiah is coming, and when he does come, he will tell us all things." What a wonderful thought that must have been for the woman and for her fellow believers, waiting for the Christ to come so many generations, and that he would be able to tell them all things. How stunning it must have been for her to hear Jesus' next words. "I, who speak to you, am he." In those plain words, Jesus revealed to a Samaritan woman that he was indeed the Christ. She told this to her fellow Samaritans, and they believed in Jesus as the Christ. And they even went so far as to say that this is indeed the Savior of the world. It is the Christ, the Savior of the world, who offers living water. And he can because he is God. Just like the bread of life that he will later offer in John's text, Jesus gives the water of life. He can quench thirst, and not just bodily thirst, which he will do finally on the last day in the resurrection of all flesh unto life everlasting. But he also quenches spiritual thirst. The thirst that desires quenching of the parched tongue caused by sin. Over and over again, sin leaves us dead. Any moisture that we may get in our mouths because of God's mercy is licked away by every sin that we commit. We are in desperate need of more and more water from God. And we are even more so in need of removal of that deadly thirst caused by our sin. For that removal, we need the rock of Massah and of Meribah. We need the rock who is Christ Jesus. He offers us living water, true, holy water. Not a gimmick, not a superstition. His own word. A word that quenches our thirst. It is a word of mercy, of grace, of God. I forgive you all your sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Jesus bore himself as sin to the cross, beholding the entirety of sin, the fullness of mankind's rebellion and animosity toward him. God forsook his only begotten Son, bearing the full load of all sin on himself. Jesus uttered forth a most appropriate word, "I thirst." Jesus thirsted on Calvary. He thirsted for justice for sin. He thirsted for righteousness from God. He thirsted for forgiveness for all mankind. Jesus Christ thirsted for you. Through his word and the work of the Holy Spirit, you drink of Christ. You drink of living holy water unto life everlasting. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.